right, we'll call the meeting to order.
Good morning.
First order of business is the approval of the agenda. Ms. Cornwell, any changes to the agenda this evening?
No changes to the agenda.
All right then.
Make a motion to approve the agenda.
A second.
Moving seconded to approve the agenda as posted. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is the approval of the minutes of the October 11, 2018 meeting.
If you didn't have any issues, they would stand be as submitted.
Okay. Any issues? Apparently not.
Make a motion to approve them.
Second.
Moving seconded to approve the minutes as circulated. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is old business. Our first item of old business is ordinance number 1811, permitted densities.
Mr. Chairman, I feel like we've talked about this a number of times, and every time that this has come up, it's been my position that we need to have, that there should be a committee set up like the one that was set up for the ordinance 99, where we got a group of people together.
Stakeholders.
Yeah, stakeholders. And I just feel like, you know, you can't make, you know, you're successful when you get a multitude of capable, prudent counsel. And so, you know, for that reason, I make a motion to deny and request that they do it through at least with the support of a organized committee.
I would agree with that. Before I second this, I have a question though. Was there something introduced on Tuesday that is different from what we have?
So that's not part of the Planning and Zoning Commission's record.
Right.
But there was discussion on Tuesday relating to the same concerns that were heard here about some of those definitions.
Okay, because I would want them to look in the definitions, and if they change something, then I would think, would it come back for if they make us a change, shouldn't it come back for another hearing?
It's not required to. I mean, part of the ordinance process is that they have the ability to make amendments to an introduced ordinance, so it doesn't necessarily make it go back through. It could, but it's not required.
Okay.
So. And of course, we're making a recommendation.
They're
free to do whatever
free
they want
to do. Whatever they want,
and our recommendation has to be made on the record that was created at our public hearing. So any information that's been introduced since then, we really can't consider.
Well, so I was just curious if we were having a moot point since we haven't even seen what they're probably considering. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, at this point, they're still considering the ordinance that you all considered. So the ordinance itself that was introduced has not been changed. It's whether they choose to amend that, you know, when they act on it. So they could adopt it with amendments. You know, I suppose they could do a workshop. They could reintroduce a whole new ordinance, and that would send it back through the whole process. So.
Okay.
Or they could just deny the thing and then figure something out besides that, too.
I agree with Keller, though. I think there's a lot of unanswered questions, and I do think it needs more due diligence.
Yeah, I get the idea of what they're trying to do, and I appreciate that, but yeah, this isn't, it's got too many loopholes and unanswered questions and could hurt the people we're trying to help in the end.
Right.
Okay, Mr. Hopkins, at this point, your motion is for denial with the recommendation that they set up a stakeholders meeting and a workshop?
Yes.
Okay.
I will second that.
That's my motion, but would you like to add something to that?
I would add that to make sure that the stakeholders look into definitions of wetlands, that federal wetlands are not considered in this, which I suppose a stakeholders group would do, and that if they do that, then they should, that they come back for a second public hearing.
And that would include the tax ditches and all of that on the farmland.
That would have, yeah. Would you?
Yeah, that's my motion. Can you work with that, Janelle?
I have a recommendation of denial, as the commission would prefer the creation of a working group to ensure that there's consideration of definitions, federal wetlands, and then they would like to have it come back to the commission for another public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded to deny ordinance 18, to recommend denial of ordinance 18-11 permitted densities for the reasons and with the recommendations stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Your next item is conditional use number 2145 105 Seagull Drive LLC.
So this one, you'll recall that the commission asked for some legal review on it, particularly that private road known as Seagull Drive. We found that there was actually a 1958-59 Court of Chancery case that compared with today's decision, is decisions out of any court is notable in its brevity of a page and a half. But at any rate, what it did was established the right of everybody who owns property on the north and south side of Seagull Drive to utilize that road, and determined that it was a 12-foot wide road that's open to all those property owners. You know, that kind of answers it. In terms of ownership of the road, that's less than clear, although I don't think that really matters in light of the Court of Chancery's decision granting rights to use it. It looks like when the property was subdivided on the north and south side in the 40s, in the 1940s, the family that owned it at that time, they sold off the lots on the north side, and then they sold off the lots on the south side, but they didn't do anything with the road itself. So in terms of ownership of the road, it would be the heirs of the people that sold off those properties in 1948 and 1949, which is probably the heirs of those heirs at any rate. But that, I guess that's more historical in nature. It doesn't really matter because we have that court case that says that those property owners have the right to use that road, and it needs to be kept open and not blocked in any way.
Interesting. Hey, Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve CU 2145 for Seagull Drive LLC for a multifamily dwelling structure of two units based on the record made at the public hearing for the following reasons. One, the property is zoned MR medium density residential. Multifamily dwellings are permitted in this zoning district with conditional use. Two, the site along the northerly side of Seagull Drive was originally one of these three lots. The middle lot was split in half, with the lots on either side of it getting half of the middle lot. As a result, this approval of two multifamily dwellings will result in the same density as the original subdivision of lots on the north side of Seagull Drive. Three, the proposed conditional use will have no significant impact upon traffic. Four, the project with the conditions imposed upon it will not have an adverse impact on the neighboring properties or community. Five, the site is in a growth area according to the 2008 comprehensive land use plan. Multifamily dwellings are appropriate in this area according to that plan. Six, the recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. A, only two units shall be constructed upon this property. B, the dwelling shall be served by Sussex County Sanitary Sewer. C, the Seagull Drive is a narrow road. During the demolition and construction process, it shall not be blocked at any time. D, the applicant or developer shall immediately repair any damage to Seagull Drive during the demolition or construction process on this property. E, the owners of both units shall contribute equally to the repair and maintenance of Seagull Drive in the same manner and shares as other property owners who use the roadway. F, construction work, site work, grading, and deliveries of any materials shall only occur between the hours of 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. G, stormwater management and erosion and sediment control facilities shall meet or exceed all state and county requirements. The final site plan shall contain the approval of Sussex Conservation District for any stormwater management facilities that are required under the jurisdiction of that office. H, the final site plans shall be subject to the approval of Planning and Zoning Commission. And that is my motion.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2145 105 Seagull Drive LLC for the reasons and with stipulations stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
Carried. The motion carries 3-1. Our next item is change of zone number 1858 OA Oaks LLC.
This one is on the agenda for closure of the public record with potential action. There has been a significant amount of information that's come in on the record, and that has been made available by staff to the commission. So one of the things we wanted to do was announce that the record is in fact closed and put that on the agenda. And so it's up to the commission whether you want to take action tonight or if you want to defer for further consideration of all the information that's come in while the record was open.
Mr. Chairman, in regard to CZ1858 OA Oaks LLC, I move that we defer for further consideration.
A second.
Move well, second. And actually, just to close the record.
Close the record, then defer.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so moved.
It's been moved and seconded to defer action and close the record on change of zone number 1858 OA Oaks LLC to allow the commission appropriate time to review the record. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is subdivision 2018-16 Charles H. Guy the Fourth.
So this one, they've actually gotten all of their agency approvals. However, they're still working with DENREC to get their soil feasibility study. So if you want to just defer until the time the soil feasibility study comes back, and then we can put it on when that does come back.
That would be my recommendation. Just don't even put it on until it.
So if you just defer until the receipt of the soil feasibility study.
Make a motion to defer until we receive the feasibility study from the Department of Natural Resources.
A second.
We move and seconded to defer action on subdivision 2018-16 Charles H. Guy the Fourth until such time as the office is in receipt of the septic feasibility study from DENREC. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. The next item is change of zone number 1860, Nassau Delaware Acquisition Company, LLC.
So in this case, you left the record open for the receipt of the applicant's response to the PLUS letter, and then 15 days for a written comment for that application. Today is actually day 15. We did receive it. Two correspondences regarding that, and those were forwarded to the commission earlier today. So today, if you want to defer, close the record, and then if you either want to defer for further consideration or if you want to make a motion.
Well, I will say on this one, I was looking at the stuff. I will make a motion to close the record and defer on this for further consideration to be able to consider the information that came in. But if anybody from this group that sent in information is here, I would just like to say thank you. You guys, we had a lot of very thoughtful information come in, and I appreciate that.
I second the motion.
So moved and seconded to close the record and defer action on conditional on a change of zone number 1860, Nassau Delaware Acquisition Company, LLC. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is conditional use number 2147, Nassau Delaware Acquisition Company, LLC.
This is the same issue.
Make a motion to close the record and to defer action until we have time to review the information.
I second.
It's moved and seconded to close the record and defer action on the conditional use number 2147, Nassau Delaware Acquisition Company, LLC. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is change of zone number 1861, Nassau Delaware Acquisition Company, LLC.
Make a motion to close the record and to defer action until for further consideration.
A second.
It's been moved and seconded to defer action and close the record on change of zone number 1861, Nassau Delaware Acquisition Company, LLC. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is change of zone number 1859, Boardwalk Development, LLC.
This one, recall that I didn't participate in, and I believe that Mr. Hudson has been speaking with Mr. Sharp, who's another one of the assistant county attorneys. I also understand from speaking with Mr. Hudson, because of the weather, he's been delayed and may not even make it tonight. So it may be that you want to defer to allow him more time to speak with Mr. Sharp and also to act on it.
I will make that motion to defer.
I second.
Moved and seconded to defer action on change of zone number 1859, Boardwalk Development LLC. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is ordinance number 18-12, C4 Planned Commercial Zoning District.
It's been a little while on this one. This is the one where the C4 zoning district was included in the rewrite of the commercial zones that we did like a year ago, maybe at this point, a little bit less. This was an amendment to that that staff picked up through the application of it. There were some changes in the wording just to reflect, again, the application and intent of that. So it's, you know, whether you all are good with moving that forward or if you have any changes. We did have some discussion from the public during the hearing that happened on it.
Now, with the recommendation that came from the public during the public hearing was to change, just add it so it was
eight units to an acre.
And the problem with that sounds like is then people could just come in and say, well, we're just putting in 8 units to the acre and not doing commercial, or is there a way that they could? I was trying to figure out how. I'm trying to figure out the loopholes to things.
I am still trying to figure out that loophole if you just say no more than 8 units to the acre. You know, if you want to say 60 or 70% can be residential, I think what was proposed in the ordinance was 40, and I think there was still some concern about that not being adequate enough to provide the ratio that works. That's right. Definitely something, and then definitely that can maybe be even further considered at the county council public hearing.
The original ordinance was 20% and realized early on that that was way too low.
Right.
The ordinance proposal, not because there was a real specific reason for it, was 40%. You know, that was just a number to increase from 20, and whether 50 or 60 or whatever is appropriate, you know, that's up to you all in council.
Commission.
Right. Yeah, because I mean, I certainly understand that, because if you don't have enough density, then it's not going to
support
the businesses, and you're going to end up with a bunch of empty storefronts that then other builders will say, well, we're never doing that again, and that's not what we want. So, Holly, what do you got on this?
Well,
you're a thoughtful person.
Yeah, I agree, too. I think if we make it too low, we're going to end up with maximum use of the density, but then the flip side of that is ending up with a bunch of empty shops, like you said.
So, but instead of just saying 8 to the acre, we'd say 50% or something has to be...
Or up to 50%.
Up to,
whatever the number.
The way it's stated is that it's a maximum percentage of residential, and, you know, do you believe... What is the correct ratio of commercial versus residential if you're going to do a mixed use?
Right.
So you say that we started out at 20?
20.
We started out at 20. And
do we? Is that where we are now, or do we go to 40?
No, now the way it was introduced was 40, but there's no reason. So yeah.
Is there any way we could do it so that if you put apartments over top of a business that doesn't count as part of your residential, that counts as business, and it would only be houses, separate housing only units?
The separate, so the mixed use buildings wouldn't count. You can make that part of a recommendation.
Definitely, that as a minimum.
So that way, the minimum was, or the maximum was 40%, but we're not counting any apartments that you put over top of a business that's there.
That God has.
What's the downside of, I mean, what is, who perceives or determines what that magical number should be? I mean, this is not the first county that tried to figure something like this out. I mean, why not? What's wrong? I'm just going to throw a wild number out, like you said. What's wrong with 80%?
I don't know that there's anything wrong with the percentage. I think the concern is more that there be some connection, that it be mixed. You know, so that's you don't end up with a commercial zone that's used strictly for residential purposes.
Okay.
You know
what
I mean? That's why I don't think there's a number that's right or wrong. It's just whatever you're all comfortable with.
So if we made it greater than the 50.
Yeah.
Right, because right now what we've heard, we've had a number of applicants interested in the proposed zoning ordinance, and they want to do the mixed use. However, the residential has been so limiting because it's so low that it's not, it hasn't, nobody's taken advantage of it as of yet.
Right.
What did they, you know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, what are the, you know, the developers that do it right saying? What are they saying that they could make work? I mean, if we do 50 tonight and they come back and say, man, look at this project right here. This was 65% and it's working great. I don't know.
I don't know that there's a number that's right or wrong. I will say this, that no matter how it works out, it to make it mixed use, because we've been down this road with the C1 where it's 12 units an acre permitted and people were just eliminating the commercial completely, and that defeats the purpose of the intent. So it's, you know, just making it so you're truly doing both.
Right, because as written, the residential you can do at 12 units to an acre. So if you're allowing 65% at 12 units to an acre and then not counting the mixed-use buildings, you know, making sure that ratio of commercial to residential is appropriate.
So it's 50% of what? I mean, I'm sorry, it's a percentage of what?
The developable area.
And that could be as many as 12 to the acre?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it would be, it could potentially, if it's 50%, then it could potentially be 6.
So if you had a 20-acre site, you could have 10 acres developed at 12 units to the acre.
Correct.
Okay. And Janelle was going to ask you, and actually any of the rest of the staff wants to chime in your professional experience and opinion. What do you feel we should be with this? Do you think the 50% is a reasonable number? Or?
I'm thinking maybe around 60%.
65?
65, but I like the idea of not counting the mixed-use buildings, and, you know, because that wasn't actually, you know, in that ratio. So, you know, if you do 60 or 65 and don't count the mixed-use buildings towards the overall density, that is definitely something that I think would get to where I think the commission in this county would like to go with mixed development.
Okay.
To provide a
I
good.
I would think that would be a way to also help with workforce housing or affordable housing. I mean, you know, how many of us starving college students lived in an apartment over a shop?
That's a good point. I never
understood why people stopped doing that. Every downtown, old downtown you ever seen had that set up.
Right. It was great. Yeah. I need pizza. I'm going downstairs.
For a tattoo.
So would 65 be a reasonable number then to allow that?
I think it would be, and then I would think in consideration of Ms. Stevenson's idea of not counting the mixed-use building, the residential that is a part of a mixed-use building would not count as towards the density as well.
Okay. You want to make that motion?
I make a motion that we consider 65% with the condition that Ms. Cornwell stated.
Any mixed use,
doesn't count towards that.
So it's a recommendation for approval with those changes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that's right, yeah.
So I second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of ordinance 18-12 C4 Planned Commercial Zoning District. Subject to the recommendations contained in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. All right then, ladies and gentlemen, we reach a point in our meeting where it's time for our public hearings. We're very glad that you're with us this evening, giving up your Thursday evening to participate in your planning and zoning process. Assure you that anyone who wishes to speak on an application will be allowed to do so at the appropriate time and in accordance with the rules of the commission. And speaking of the rules of the commission, allow me to direct your attention to our esteemed counsel to my left and your right, who has a few well-chosen words to share with you about the way we conduct our meetings and the way we would like you to conduct yourselves.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Chairman Wheatley stated, this is the time for the scheduled public hearings before the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission, as shown on tonight's agenda. These proceedings are conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present is invited to stay throughout the commission meeting to view the commission's deliberations and the votes on the pending applications. In addition, these proceedings are broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion, and no applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please don't do anything that distracts from these proceedings, and we ask that you follow the directions of the chairman. Also, if you have a telephone or similar device, we ask that you turn it off or switch it to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman, and the director will review the application and describe any agency comments or correspondence that has been received. Then the applicant will present and explain its application to the commission and may present any relevant exhibits and testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. After the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. Supporters will go first, followed by any opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that that person identify themselves and speak first. Whenever speaking to the commission, please come up to the podium and identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We also ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limits on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and he has the authority to terminate testimony from anyone that is irrelevant or unduly repetitive. Also, Sussex County and its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, source of income, handicap or disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county during its deliberations. During the proceedings, no direct questioning or cross-examination of the applicant, supporters, or opponents will be permitted. Any questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission will direct the question to the appropriate person if necessary. Finally, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant unless requested or permitted by the commission. An individual supporting or opposing the application will only be allowed one opportunity to speak to the commission. Thank you, Mr. Wheatley.
All right.